This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala Sayyidi Rasuli wa Khatim al-Anbiya. Wa ala alihi al-Askiya wa ashabihi al-Atqiya amma ba'd. Every night after Taraweeh prayer, we sat together and reflected over different points that were relating to the month of Ramadan. And today we sit here with Eid being at our doorstep, and this is more or less our last gathering for the blessed month of Ramadan of 2013. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all of our deeds that we conducted in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks our lack of sincerity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills in all the mistakes that we made while making an attempt to worship His greatness. One of the beautiful principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that if someone does good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever waste that person's good. As Muslims, I know that we have a fear as well, that will my action be accepted by Allah or not? Will my action be accepted by Allah or not? The fear of the action being accepted, the scholars say, should only be with you until you complete the action. From the moment you think of doing the action, how should I do it? What can I do to make sure my action is completed? While doing the action, you're constantly worried, will my action be accepted? Will my action be accepted? But the scholars say, the moment you finish the act now your focus should be on, my action was accepted by Allah. You guys understand that? Now your focus should be, my action was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, according to some narrations, is even close to disbelief. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding Hajj, that a person who exits the plain of Arafah and doubts his forgiveness, it's as if he has disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where we are in the month of Ramadan, and where we're struggling and striving, at this point we should be worried that, will Allah accept it? What can I do to make sure it will be accepted? But as soon as the month of Ramadan comes to an end, now we should have high hopes in Allah that inshallah every act of deed that I did was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't doubt the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second beautiful thing is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does reward someone, He has a very unique principle of rewarding, that Allah azza wa jalla will reward you with better than what you did. You guys understand that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you many more folds better. Allah azza wa jalla says in Surah Rahman, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, that is the reward of excellence anything other than excellence? If a person prays salah in this world, they will be rewarded by Allah. If they give zakah, sadaqah in the world, they will be rewarded by Allah azza wa jalla. And when the scholars say, is the reward of excellence other than excellence, but excellence, they say that this reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two folds. The first fold of the reward, or the second fold if you wish to say it, we'll talk about first, which is the more common fold of the reward, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us Jannah, inshaAllah al-Aziz. The rivers of which have been described in the Qur'an, the gardens of which have been described in the Qur'an, the different fruits and foods of which have been described in the Qur'an, the palaces of which have been described in the Qur'an, the fragrance of which has been described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the garments of which have been described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beauty of which is so astonishing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that your heart can never ever imagine even the reality of Jannah. We can sit here and talk about the stories of Jannah, but the reality is مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. No heart can actually even imagine the reality of Jannah. And for those who fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special reward for them in Jannah, that they will be given a VIP entrance into Jannah. There's a special door Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved for those people who fast. And that door is called Bab al-Rayyan. Al-Rayyan means nourished. They will never feel hungry again once they walk into that door, and that will be a special honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the second fold, or now if we wish to say the first fold, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward, one is Jannah, in the hereafter inshallah. And the other fold of Allah's reward is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also reward us for our good deeds in the world as well. In the world as well, we will also find the reward of our good deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that when a person prays salah, you know, it gives coolness to the person. We also find, and also washes away the sins. We find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that if you give zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return the wealth to you how many folds?
10.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward it to you. You know, many more folds. Allah azza wa jalla promises this in the Quran. For the one who's fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that person that we will give you a day in Ramadan, after Ramadan, which will remind you or give you a glimpse of what kind of celebration you'll have in Jannah. And that celebration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us after 30 days of struggle is the day of Eid. And similarly, after we complete our Hajj, Allah azza wa jalla once again rewards us for the great amount of struggle and sacrifice we made, the day of Eid. The day of Eid, Eid in Arabic means, it comes from possibly two root words. One is to return, and the other one is to be a habit. Al-Aud aw al-Aada. Aud means something that returns. And Aada means something that's a habit. If we take the meaning of it returning, the scholars say the reason why the day of Eid is called Eid is because it returns back to you all of the blessings of Allah that you could not enjoy before the month, while during the month of Ramadan. So we weren't able to enjoy eating, we weren't able to enjoy drinking, we weren't able to enjoy intimacy. So now the day of Eid, it returns all of those blessings back to you. You guys understand that? It returns all the blessings back to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina Munawwara, he said to them that you had 2 days in which you celebrated. The people of Medina had 2 days they celebrated. He said, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced those 2 days of jahiliyyah with 2 days of Islam. And the 2 days of Islam are Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. As Muslims, we celebrate Eid, bearing in mind that we aren't celebrating over an incident that took place in Islamic history, or we aren't celebrating over, some season or something that happened. We're celebrating over the actions we just completed. And the actions we completed, here we finished fasting at Eid al-Adha, we finished sacrificing an animal, we're celebrating that. Those who finish their Hajj, they finish their Hajj. So we celebrate our actions as opposed to celebrating random incidents that took place in history. As Muslims, we realize that there are no incidents that we find during the life of the Prophet ﷺ where he celebrated just a story. Where he celebrated, he would commemorate the story sometimes, for example, fasting on the day Musa ﷺ was freed from Fir'aun, but there was no idea of celebration. Celebration was 2 days, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, and these were because of achievements of great sacrifice that we made for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now many people, they forget to realize that Eid al-Fitr in particular is a day as a gift from Allah to us. We should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this day. And what ends up happening in return is many people, they use Eid al-Fitr, na'udhu billah, fal'ayadhu billah, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is the disobedience that takes place on the day of Eid sometimes is unmatched through the rest of the year. Would you guys agree? Yes? Many times, the things that happen on Eid within our Muslim communities, within the Muslim households, these type of things will not happen outside on any day of the year. Forget about Ramadan or non-Ramadan, the kind of things we end up doing on Eid. We should remember, Eid is not a day in which we take a vacation from Islam. Eid is not a vacation from Islam. Eid is a day and we should be more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eating and drinking is there. But the main focus of Eid is the extra 2 rakat Eid al-Fitr we read on that day. Or the salat of Eid. We show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. Okay, so with that said, I just wanted to highlight a few things that that we as Muslims sometimes make as mistakes when it comes in terms of Eid. The first thing that we do that's very common is that when many people eat, when many people celebrate the day of Eid, they forget to keep in mind the responsibility that we have as Muslims towards gender segregation. The day of Eid comes in, and all the rulings of gender segregation go out the window, and the genders begin to mix and mingle, and it seems as if people forgot that they just came from a month that was supposed to give them taqwa, and now we are going in the exact opposite direction. So we should bear in mind that on the day of Eid in particular, be careful of attending gatherings or going to places where there is gender mingling. The second thing we should be very careful of is, I've seen this in, may Allah protect, may Allah save our communities, in many Eid parties, they serve haram food, and in particular, I have also witnessed alcohol being served on Eid dinners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our communities. We should be careful of this as well, and make sure, like I just said, we just came from a month of worshipping Allah, and now we are walking towards sins. It doesn't make sense at all. The next thing is that when people, when they prepare for Eid, they forget to remember that our beauty and our preparation should not violate any law of Sharia. So for example, if we're preparing for Eid, we should not wear clothes that are not permissible in Sharia for us to wear. So for example, some men, they wear silk. We know as Muslims that we're not supposed to wear silk. So why would we wear it on a day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding us? As men, we know that we are not supposed to wear gold. So why would we wear gold on a day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding us? For women, we know that we're supposed to cover ourselves. Many times you go to the Eid area where the Eid Salah takes place, and it seems as if there's a fashion show there. There was a time that I was leading Eid Salah, and throughout the Eid, I couldn't stop sneezing. I was sneezing and sneezing, sneezing and sneezing through the full khutbah. And the reason wasn't because I had a cold. I was actually perfect, alhamdulillah. The reason why I was sneezing so much is because some people in the crowd, in particular, it was female fragrance, it was so heavy that it kept getting in my nose and making me sneeze. People put so much fragrance on. Okay, so we should be careful in this matter to make sure that we dress appropriately. And we beautify ourselves according to the occasion while bearing in mind the laws of the Sharia. And the last thing is that many people, when it comes to the day of Eid, we forget to bear in mind and balance what's considered as appropriate and what's considered as inappropriate in terms of our spending. Many people become extravagant on the day of Eid. And we waste and waste and waste. In the month of Ramadan, people waste. That's another discussion altogether. But then on the day of Eid, we waste and waste. Sometimes there are 15 dinners that are taking place simultaneously. And we have to hop from one dinner to the other. We should be careful not to be extravagant. However, with all of that said, the day of Eid is a day of joy. It's a day of happiness. Whatever little you did, whatever lot you did, you should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes as Muslims, we forget that one of the most beautiful sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was... What would you guys say? Smiling. We forget to smile sometimes. We forget how beautiful of a sunnah that is. Sometimes it seems when I'm attending Jummah khutbah that the khatibs forgot that smiling is a sunnah. And it feels like as Muslims we forgot smiling is a sunnah. Having fun is also an important thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enjoy himself at times. When it was time to be serious, there's no doubt that he was very serious. But then there were times and occasions where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really enjoyed himself. The Sahaba, they say that we had never seen anyone smile like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. He smiled so abundantly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would laugh a lot. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, he narrates a very beautiful tradition that once Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was gone on a journey. And when he was on a journey, he had two people with him. The first person's name was Thawabit, and the second person's name was Nu'ayman. Abu Bakr was the Amir of the three. Thawabit was put responsible of looking over the food they had, and Nu'ayman was one of the companions with them. So Abu Bakr was gone somewhere during their journey, he stepped out, and the other two were together. So Nu'ayman said to Thawabit, Thawabit was in charge of the food, that give me something to eat. So Thawabit said to him, well, there's three of us, and we should only eat when all three of us are present. So you're going to have to wait for Abu Bakr to come back before we can eat. Nu'ayman said, no, I want food now. Thawabit said, no, no food now. Nu'ayman said, take it your way. If you give it to me, I'll take it. Otherwise, I'll make sure I'll have the food. I want my food. So Thawabit said, go ahead, whatever you want. So Nu'ayman went to the market, radiallahu anhu, and he found a group of people. He said to them, listen, I'm selling a slave for a very cheap price, maybe 10, 20 dinar, cheap price. They said, why is he so cheap? He said, he's a strong slave, he's an intellectual slave, he speaks good Arabic as well. The only problem is that he had an accident because of which he doesn't remember he's a slave. They said, if he's going to work in the fields, that's no problem. I mean, he doesn't have to remember he's a slave once he's got a chain around him. So they said, okay, come. So he took the money, they bought him nearby, he said, that's the guy there. They came to him and they started tying him in chains. He said, what are you doing? Thawabit said, what are you doing? They said, oh, you're a slave. He said, I'm not a slave. They said, we know you were going to say that. And they continued tying him up. And on the other hand, Nu'ayman was sitting by the food and he was eating away. He said, I told you I was going to eat. Meanwhile, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came and had him released and sorted the situation up. Thawabit, he said to Nu'ayman, I won't forgive you until I complain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara first. Look what you did to me. Nu'ayman said, whatever, no problem. Go ahead, make the complaint. He had a different personality, Nu'ayman radiallahu anhu. There are many stories regarding him. Once he was traveling with the Sahaba for a battle, and his spear was very heavy. He didn't want to carry it, so he just dropped it on the ground. And someone else behind him picked him up. He knew someone was going to pick it up. So someone picked it up, carried it the full journey. They kept announcing, whose spear is it? Whose spear is it? He didn't say anything. Finally, when he reached, he said to the general, oh, that's my spear. So they said, we knew it was yours. Because he used to do these kind of things. One time a person came to the Prophet, a Bedouin came and he was praying Salah in the masjid. He left his camel outside. Some friends came to Nu'ayman and they said, take the camel and sacrifice it, let's go have a meal. He said, no problem. So he said, he took the camel, he took it and he sacrificed it. The Bedouin started screaming, my saddle's here, where's the camel gone? Again, this narration, if I'm correct, is narrated by Imam Ahmad as well. Where's my camel gone? He started searching left, right, he couldn't see the camel anywhere. Then he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did a little research, he found out Nu'ayman did it. He came to Nu'ayman and said, why did you do it? He said, Messenger of Allah, I only did it because they told me. they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, when we told Nu'ayman to sacrifice the animal, we also said to him, who's going to pay for it? He said, don't worry, I have a plan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Nu'ayman, what was your plan? He said, O Messenger of Allah, my plan was that you were going to pay for it. Because you are the one who helps the needy. And Nu'ayman radiallahu anhu, so the Suwaybat, he made the complaint. He said, O Messenger of Allah, Nu'ayman did this to me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he looked at Nu'ayman, and then he looked at Suwaybat and looked at Abu Bakr, and he laughed so much at this incident. He laughed so much at this incident that the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, years passed by, and there were just a few days left until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to pass away. And every time he heard Thuwaybit or Nu'ayman's name, he started laughing. He said, "Oh, you remember that story, that Abu Bakr story?" And he would start laughing. He was a very humble person, very joyful person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a lot of fun. We as Muslims should also have a lot of fun. The day of Eid is for that. Don't get angry. If someone does something in your family that's not good, forgive them. It's a day of Eid. If something happens that you're not happy with, forgive it. It's a day of Eid. The day of Eid should be a day of joy, a day of happiness, a day in which we are smiling and we're extremely excited that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this day of reward. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and ability to enjoy the beautiful day of Eid that's right in front of us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also allows us to enjoy the great Eid when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls our names towards Jannat al-Firdaus. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.